I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
What's the most resilient parasite?
Prime Time with Isaac Insu.
Can build cities, can transform the world, and rewrite all the rules.
That's what I'll be doing every single night.
Which is why...
No!
I have to steal it.
What are you talking about, Willis?
This is Prime Time with Isaac Insu.
It's going to work. It's passable, okay? This isn't terrible.
The best in local, regional, and national sports.
With no hidden agenda.
Prime Time with Isaac and Sue on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, what it do?
Ahoy!
What is up?
Just another beautiful day.
You are a lucky son of a bitch.
Nope, I told you. I had to do it all along. I never doubted.
Man.
Not for a second.
I don't root against the Blazers.
I do not believe
what
you.
Did I say on the program yesterday?
You said multiple times there's no way the Blazers lose this game.
So let me ask you the question. Did they lose?
No, but you said you said there's no way.
Was there
a way?
No.
Yes. If LeVert's shot goes in, they lose.
Did
proving
they
you're wrong.
Lose? No.
They did not. They
there
won.
There was no way that shot was going in.
Did they try to lose at every single corner? Yes.
I never
yes.
worried one bit.
Yes, they did.
I made my bold proclamation on the program, and I stand by it.
What?
At no point was I nervous in that game.
I don't root against the Blazers. Matter of fact, I want to see Blazers-Lakers. It's good for our business.
Yeah.
Even though you bet on the Nets plus 11.5.
Yeah, but I mean, whatever.
Winner, chicken dinner.
Yeah, that was easy money. But Mike interrupted me. Now I don't know what I'm saying. What was I saying?
Rob had a stroke.
You said I never root against the Blazers.
Oh, but I was rooting for you really hard to lose that so we could make total fun of you today.
Didn't happen. Never once was concerned.
I mean, that's really what I wanted.
Not once. I think my brother was too, but
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Didn't happen. I sacrificed a chicken and a possum in between the third and fourth quarter to break the voodoo curse, right. The reverse jinx that I had, and it turned out fine.
Right.
Look, I was never worried.
Not sure if fine is the right word.
Fine. Can I ask the question? As amazing as Lillard was,
mm-hmm.
First off, that LeVert kid is really good. Why is it in basketball, what is the motivation behind the final shot? Let's make it as hard as humanly possible. Like, LeVert had, like 4 or 5 inches on CJ, literally had gotten to the cup anytime he wanted.
CJ has a fractured back.
And had easy looks at the rim. And then decided at the biggest moment, probably the biggest shot of his career, let's do a double clutch step back 20 foot. Why? I don't understand. Thank you for doing it. But that baffles me. It's like the NCAA tournament. Hey, we're down by one. I got this 35 footer. Again, if you're Lillard and you're shooting 50% from, 90 feet away, but
how old's LeVert?
I think he's
23,
in his
24?
Yeah, I think he's like in his third year.
25, it says here.
Okay.
So he played at Michigan, huh? Do you remember him at Michigan?
I do not remember him at Michigan.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember him at Michigan.
He was very good. Great 3-point shooter.
He's one of those
guys. He's a nice player.
Hey, one of those guys that you hear a little bit about, but
Blazers should go get him.
I don't watch a lot of Brooklyn basketball, and I think people are starting to pay attention. I know Lillard was last night.
But wait.
Lillard after the game was like, dude, that guy's legit.
When the Nets are full strength Nets,
they could be really good.
Where does LeVert fit in? Honest question. Is he a starter on that team?
He's the two.
Yeah, he's
Kyrie,
the two.
Kyrie, LeVert, and KD.
Okay. All right.
There's a lot of people that have been saying
that
like,
is nasty.
And Jacques Vaughn has done a nice job. A lot of people are saying.
Hey, Rock Chuck.
A lot of people are saying that when, if Kyrie and KD are healthy with this Brooklyn squad that plays hard.
Good club.
Could be a dangerous team.
Good little ball club.
Although they play hard until Kyrie and KD come back and infect them with their weird ways, and all of a sudden they'll crumble to be terrible.
Well,
again.
To be fair, I mean,
not
both,
terrible, but
both of those guys have won NBA titles, including KD, who's won multiple, and some MVPs. So I do enjoy that narrative.
They both have a nice little history of not trying their hardest.
Yeah, but they both have a history of being really good, too. Anywho. point.
Yeah, but Mike's right. You got to buoy the guys around you. This is what Lillard does.
Yes.
This is what Dirk always did. You know, these guys are special. And, you know, there is an element of, we see it all the time in the NBA where you get a star player or a top two guys that hog the ball and the rest of the guys are just like, whatever. I'm not about this.
Yeah.
You know, you see that all the time. Not to say that would happen with the Nets. Maybe they'll be really, really good, but
look, the thing
it could happen.
The thing that surprised the hell out of me last night is having nothing to play for whatsoever. Boy, Brooklyn played hard.
Well, that shouldn't surprise you because they've been doing that the whole bubble. They've been pissed.
Yes.
They said they were pissed off that everybody laughed at them when they had no players. And they were like, yeah, well, watch this. They do play their ass off. And look, the Blazers can't guard you and me.
No, they can't.
So that's why plus 11.5 was easy money. That Nets team, you know, it's just kind of like, I don't know how you feel about the Blazers going into the Lakers series get there.
Not very good, by the way.
Right. It's like, that's not a good team, the Nets. And you make them look like freaking Jordan's Bulls.
But they've done this literally with every game. I mean, and Stotts basically admitted as much, right? I do enjoy that the Terror Bear just came out and was like, our defense is basically, we're just going to try to score more points than you and give it to the letter O and try to get the hell out of the way.
That bothers me.
I
had the thought last night, and you can never say this in Portland because everybody, yeah, you're just a hater. Terry Stotts, I don't understand why they are not better defensively. He's had 1 year, maybe one and a half, where they've had a good, really good defense.
Yeah.
And I just, it pisses me off.
That's his system. They always talk about it. His defensive system sucks.
Yeah. He doesn't
change.
Their
defensive system just wanders in the desert for for about 40 years. And we just hope that eventually it comes back around.
Yeah, their defensive system is if there's a guy driving the paint, just keep backing up, keep backing up, keep backing up, keep backing up,
yes.
Keep backing up.
Their transition defense is so god awful.
Yeah.
Did you see the white boy who got the rebound on a defensive rebound on the Nets end? And he literally put the ball on the floor right under his own hoop and went straight down for a dunk.
Yeah.
And they parted like the Red Sea.
They did. It was like, what?
Get some biblical references today.
Anyway, they won.
I just thought I thought collectively Blazer Twitter was going to have an aneurysm last night over the rebounding. Just the offensive.
Oh, Jesus.
Because they were dominating the boards until the fourth quarter when they couldn't get a thing.
I was just waiting for someone to blow a gasket, either on wide open missed threes because Portland seemingly had like seven of them that they couldn't knock down until the very end, and then the offensive rebounding game. But
I screamed at my TV, grab an effing board, you effing scrubs.
I figured as much. That is honestly kind of fun when you've got a game like that. And Twitter is, and just social media in general, is just a cesspool. But for stuff like that, when everyone's watching something, and not just locally, but it's the national game going on, everyone's paying attention to it, it is fun to just kind of have the thread open and kind of see just kind of real-time reactions to it. It's like being in a sports bar, except, you don't have to pay like $12 for a drink and you can go to the bathroom.
Well, I would like to reiterate that multiple times on yesterday's broadcast, if you guys missed it, Mike and I tried to warn him and tried to help the Blazers out by just, dude, just don't say it that way. Suk said multiple times, there is no way the Blazers lose this game.
I want to say Suk said it about 10 to 15 times.
Again,
it was a lot.
I'm going to give you both the middle finger. Answer the question. Did they lose? No.
Was there a way they could lose? Yes.
Did they lose? No.
And they tried
what did
to blow
I say?
It.
There are
they
many
wouldn't
ways
lose.
They could lose. Yes.
They tried to blow it.
Ah, you're fine.
You almost jinxed them, bastard.
Also, what's going on in the third quarter?
Yeah,
the starters start the third quarter and they just
look. Just
no one
well.
Cares about the third quarter. Even the Blazers.
No,
they don't.
I mean,
care.
Multiple.
Like, no one cares.
No, including like you said, including the Blazers. The Blazers don't care. Like, we're all concerned more about the third quarter. I think Portland's just resting up for the final 4 minutes because they know that's what it's going to come down to.
Well,
and look,
can they just not go down by 10 then and just like keep it within five in the third?
Like, you just have to bitch and complain, don't you? You just got to nitpick.
Look,
just be happy. They won again.
You guys, they won.
Yes, they did.
Your Zers.
Now,
they look tired.
I have said this three times, possibly four. It's better to be lucky than good. And when you're both, you're dangerous. And Portland is so freaking lucky. When you look at some of the things that have transpired to get them here, you just, I think, I'm going to say a team of destiny, whatever, but you've got a little luck, you got a little confidence. And I think there is I don't know. There's just that feeling at the end of the game where you feel like things are going to bounce their way because we've seen it happen multiple times, including
at the end of games against the Nets. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, and probably the Grizzlies. Yes.
Like the most Lakers, improbable three you're ever. Exactly. This is a different animal.
Well, but the Blazers do play up to their competition and down to their competition.
Well, but look, dudes, there. Let's call this. Let's be honest. Okay.
Yeah.
Damian Lillard is carrying them.
Yes.
And he has carried them to something that was really fun. Like this bubble thing, the whole thing was kind of fun.
Yeah.
And I didn't like it. I thought they should just go straight to the playoffs. You know, Memphis had built a three and a half game lead over everybody else for the eight seed. I'm like, that's enough. They deserve it. But this bubble played out great in a sense that it was really exciting. And Damian Lillard carried them. I mean, they are just not.
They're not.
Man, they can't guard anyone. Zach Collins is terrible.
Did anyone else have this stop? You said you grab an effing rebound. I had one of these. Stop. Zach Collins, stop effing shooting threes. Stop.
Mario Hezonja sucks.
I yelled, take him out of the game.
They have.
Collins looked lost.
They have Damian Lillard, who is transcendent.
Yes.
And you have Gary Trent playing his ass off. And then you have an injured CJ McCollum. But Nurkic was nice in the fourth quarter.
Well, Whiteside at the beginning.
Whiteside had a good run there. But when they had benched him, put Nurkic back in there.
Yeah.
He was huge when they were trapping Lillard. Yeah. And he finished. And that was big. I love Nurkic is such a good player for them. But they just, Lillard is carrying them. Let's just call it like it is. And so, you know.
It feels a little bit to me, you see this in the NCAA tournament, right? Where you get a team that isn't very good. You get some mid-major or, you know, you get the, you know, whoever. And you've got one transcendent player and he's just putting them putting the team on his back and he won't let them lose. But eventually you run into Duke or you run into Kansas and, you know, and it runs out. And I feel like that's what's happening in Portland. They're not very good. They don't play a lick of defense. There's not a lot of consistency there. But you've got arguably right now the best player in the bubble, at least what he's playing right now. And it's been enough. And you've got a little lucky, and he's carrying you. I think it's going to carry you past Memphis. Unfortunately, when you play the Lakers, I think you're running into Duke now. And that's, you're going to have to play a hell of a lot better. But it's been a hell of a ride, and it sure has been fun. And to watch Lillard every single year continue to ratchet up the game and get the national recognition that he deserves, it's been so much fun because that guy continues to write his legacy in Portland. He owns the city, and he's everything you could want in a superstar.
Does he have a key yet?
If he doesn't, he should. He's got a mural.
Have they not given him the key to the city?
I don't know if you've seen the big mural, but it's pretty kick-ass.
All right. Well, we've got a guest today. You guys want to know who it is?
Well, I know who it is.
I know who it is.
Go ahead and share.
Well, for the listeners listening to our show, we have a guest at 4 p.m.
Yes, who actually has a more regal name than you, which is not very often. I. Everett Ropp, the Honorable. I. Everett Ropp, to me, is one of the great,
pretty good,
prestigious names. And
pales in comparison to our guest.
Oh, he takes a steaming dump all over your name.
Our guest at 4 p.m. will be F. King Alexander, who is the president at Oregon State University.
President F. King Alexander?
So that'll be good.
And we looked up what the F was. It was it Fielding?
Fielden.
Fielden?
Fielding. F-I-E-L-D-O-N. Fielden.
He's kind of a young guy, isn't he? I mean, as presidents go. How old is he?
I don't know the answer to that.
But that,
come on, Mike,
is a great name. He should be a university president with that name.
He's been one at four different schools.
Yeah.
King Alexander.
Murray State, Cal State Long Beach, LSU, and now Oregon State.
He's 56.
I would think that's pretty young.
That's young for
a
university
president. Dad was the president of Murray State, and he followed up after him.
His data?
Yeah.
All right. Well, it would be good to talk to him.
Yeah.
Because.
Well, and he's the one that
questions.
He's the one, too, that had the great line when someone asked him, what are you seeing that the SEC isn't as far as being able to play? And he said, probably reality, which is just.
Probably.
That's beautiful. He did say probably.
All right. Well, let's come back and talk about Damian Lillard carrying the Blazers to greatness just the playoffs. And then we'll go from there. Okay, guys?
Yes.
Ready, break.
I'm with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right. 3:18 The Fan Friday. Freaky fan frenzied Friday. Not quite football Friday.
No, well, we got camp.
Yeah, but it's still not Football Friday.
No, it's not.
It's Fiki fan frenzied.
Fiki?
What is it? Freaky.
Oh, what?
Freaky.
Is it Fiki with Jared Goff? Is that what we're doing? What the Freaky hell is fan going on?
Fan frenzied Friday fun.
Sure.
Show.
Rocking you.
1080thefan.com is our website, the AAA Heating and Cooling poll question. AAA Heating and Cooling, family business helping families for over 50 years, AAAIAQ.com. It's the same as yesterday because Will's out.
Ah, I see.
But it's good to have this up because
It's still relevant.
It's the story, yeah. How confident are you the Blazers have a playoff run in them? Log on and vote at 1080thefan.com. So they will play at 11:30 on Saturday?
Yes, and then if need be...
Or I mean tomorrow?
Yeah, if need be, then I think 1:30 on Sunday. But hopefully, you know, it'll come down to the wire again, but hopefully you dispatch Memphis.
Yeah, that's what you said about last night's game, too. You have any proclamations about that Grizzlies game tomorrow?
I am not going to say that it's inconceivable that they lose this game, but I do think they're better than Memphis. Memphis hasn't looked very good the entire time, and the only thing that would worry me is, does Portland have enough gas in the tank? Because they
look tired.
They had to put everything out there, and you see it when LeVert shot bounced off the rim, and that thing was over. Lillard had his hands on his knees, and that was not a celebratory, hey, we won this, you know, the mean mug. That was thank God this is over, and that we've moved on. That's the only thing that concerns me is, with as many minutes as they've had to play, CJ's got the bum back. Nurkic hasn't played a lot this year. What's his conditioning? You know, Trent isn't used to these kind of minutes. Is there just enough left in the tank if Memphis, you know, if Memphis brings the same sort of juice that Brooklyn does? And then if you do have a close one and you lose that, then you got to turn around the very next day and play again. That's my concern with the Memphis thing. But I feel pretty confident that they'll be the 8th seed. And then, you know, the Lakers series, you're underdogs. You got a puncher's chance because right now the way Lillard's playing, you know, he gives you a chance, but you're going to have to play a hell of a lot better than you have because you've played down to competition. And, you know, the B squad on all these teams is giving you a lot of problems.
Well, that's why I don't understand why everyone's just chalking them past Memphis.
Like, yeah.
Did you not watch last night?
Yeah.
I mean, Memphis is better than Brooklyn. So, you got another big one. I mean, it's another one. They do look gas. Like Lillard's, the look on his face was so priceless after the game, right when they patted him on the back and the ball didn't go in from LeVert or whatever,
yeah.
LeVert and Shirley. And he just looked like, I mean, that was a guy coming up out of like just a zone of just doing everything he could and leaving it all out there to help his team, to carry his team to a win. And
sure,
he did. And then it's just like the sigh of relief, but they still have one more. And if you overlook Memphis, man,
And then you got two more.
They're not good enough to overlook anybody.
No.
I think we've learned that. But Lillard,
Jackson being out for Memphis, though, one of their better young players.
Yeah, but Lillard's on another level right now. Like 51, 61, and 42 to help him finish 6-2. And just his, man, he is, you got all these like cliche things you can say. He's special. He's this and that. But, because, you know, the broadcasters were saying, you're watching, like, Lamar Hurd was on there, and he was like, you're watching greatness. Well, yeah. But what is it about him that makes him great? And I think one thing is his determination and just that
his will.
That twitch in his brain that he can muster carrying a team the way he does, and just his sheer fearless determination is really special. Like, it's, you know, you think all these guys have that. We've talked about this a million times. They don't. He just continues to display that, and it's really freaking great to watch. It is so awesome to watch. Dude walks up past half court and chucks it. What was that? 40 feet?
Something like that.
From the logo. His feet were on
the
logo.
You know, people call it logo Lillard, but that's a different, like, I mean, he shoots around the logo or maybe one of the sides. That's the half court.
And that logo is kind of thin. That's not a wide logo. That was the NBA logo in the middle. And he freaking drains it right when he needs it. Like, he's just...
Well, and riddle me this. Like, I've seen people get picked up three quarters court when you're down by three and... You know, it's the final minute of the game and you've really got to press and you're making someone else, you know, gonna make someone else beat you. There's 8, 9, 10 minutes left in the fourth quarter and you're double teaming him and picking him up three quarters court. Quick had a good piece where he had the quote where Lillard came off the floor and said, man, these MFers be double teaming me in the backcourt.
And they picked him up on the other side. Yeah, on the other side.
After he hit the FU3, after he went all NBA jams, they were like, they were caught on camera saying,
Did you see the Garrett Temple? Yeah, that was the clip.
I don't care if it's Michael Blank and Jordan, go double team that guy.
Yeah.
It's insane. And how many open looks has he gotten other people because of that? Now, last night, you know, they went cold and they couldn't knock down anything, but they get open looks simply because there isn't anyone that can handle him. He is, whether he's the best point guard in the game right now, again, you got Harden, you got Curry. I suppose it's up for debate, but I'll say that there's not a better point guard in the league right now. There's not a better leader in the league right now. And the guy plays his ass off on defense. He's not the world's greatest defender, but we've seen in these games, he makes big plays down the stretch. He had a big strip. You know, he just is playing his ass off. And you're right. I hate the whole Mamba mentality thing. That kind of drives me crazy sometimes that's, you know, it's I think it's become overused, but he truly has that thing that Kobe and others have, just a really, like you said, just a different level of determination and a different level of chip on your shoulder and the whatever he needs, the slight that he feels, you know, put respect on my name, whatever he needs to get going. It's amazing to watch. And he is writing his legacy in Portland. And when this is done, the guy will be a legend in this city. I mean, he already is.
I guess we'll find out. Yeah. He needs a key to the city.
Yeah.
If Ted Wheeler hasn't already done that, he needs to get on that because that's what we do. You give people like him a key to the city.
And you know,
there's nothing else we can do.
And thank heavens, whatever you believe in, whatever you pray to.
You think he'll have a bridge named after him eventually?
Wouldn't that be so? Well, we don't need the Tillicum Bridge there. Make it the Lillard Bridge.
Definitely.
Throw that
thing
out.
Give him a new one.
Yeah, give him.
It was built while he was playing.
Yes. Well, we got Drexler Drive. Put Lillard Way or something.
Yes.
But thank heavens that you, not only do you have that guy, but in today's NBA, you have the one guy that you can truly feel pretty, like, I feel confident. I guess nothing's 100%. But you feel confident that he's not going anywhere, because if that level of talent is somewhere in a city like Portland, I don't think you feel that great about him sticking around. And yet with Lillard, is at this point, whether it's for whatever reason, he isn't going anywhere. He loves it here. He's determined to stay here. That mentality will keep him here to prove the doubters wrong. And thank your lucky stars.
I think the biggest thing that I took away from yesterday's game was his post-game quote where he said, I was making all the right plays, quote unquote, and then I realized I had to start doing it myself. He basically said that we weren't hitting shots and I had to do it myself. And if you remember a couple of years ago when the Pelicans were double teaming him in the playoffs and he couldn't get out of it, he couldn't get his own shot, and nobody else in the team was shooting at all because you didn't have shooters, and they got swept. This year, you have shooters who aren't hitting it, and now when he decides to take over, he can get out of the double team and get himself open shots.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He had the three right at the line when he was double teamed, and he got body bumped a little bit, and he still hit it. He was able to drive to the paint and get a couple of buckets or at least dish outs.
Well,
He's able to take over now, whereas before he really wasn't.
I think that, well, maybe he was just a little bit more passive before. Now he just he's in his prime. This is peak Lillard, and he absolutely knows. I think that, too, when he gets... You know, he knows everybody's just going to pick him up wherever they can and try to double him, get the ball out of his hands. But when he gets going downhill early, when he gets the ball, like, you know, three quarters of the way on the other side of the court, you really can't stop him. Like,
no.
he just goes right around everybody.
And he now gets calls.
And he gets to the rim every time.
And he's getting calls. Like, there's some plays, like, I get it, where if you're guarding him, it's frustrating because if you play off of him, he just buries you. But when he drives to the rim, he now gets the star treatment, where a lot of times you're like, if you get within, you know, a foot of him, the whistle gets blown. And when they give him those calls and he's shooting the ball, you're right. You can't defend him. You can't guard
him. He just goes right around you.
And he's not selfish. He has no problem. If you want to collapse on him, you've got some shooters now with CJ and Trent that you can kick it out to.
Mello.
Yeah, and Mello. And when they're knocking down shots, you make the argument. I think they were saying this on TNT last night. It's the best offense in the bubble. When they are knocking down shots, this offense is scary good.
Well, the bubble showed us that format matters, right? Like,
yes.
It wasn't the greatest basketball. There wasn't a lot of defense being played. There were a lot of teams that didn't care.
The Lakers, the Bucks.
Yeah, a lot of teams didn't care. I think a lot of teams were just ramping up for the playoffs. You know, I mean, that's why I would use it too. I wouldn't go all out in that thing. They don't care. They're in the playoffs, and it's going to be a long run. And they'd been had a long layoff, so why push it? But this is like March Madness. You know, March Madness college basketball sucks. Like nobody, I mean, it's just a bad product, right? Sure. But you put it in that March Madness format, mm-hmm. and it's must see TV. And the bubble had a little bit of that. It showed you that format matters, and they should tinker with the format more, because they just created a scenario mm-hmm. that on paper looked like, well, that's kind of dumb. Why are we doing that? But it ended up being really fun and really exciting. There were a lot of really good games in the bubble. Again, it wasn't the best played stuff, but that's the point. The point is, it doesn't have to be the best product. If you put it in an exciting format where teams are playing for their life, that changes sports. That makes it way more exciting. Everybody was watching.
Right? Like Phoenix was a garbage team. Portland, to be honest with you, much of the year was a garbage team. And even Brooklyn was kind of an afterthought. And yet those were some of the best teams to watch during this. And I've heard some people say that's why, you know, you should have the midseason tournament. But if you have the midseason tournament, who the hell cares? Because it doesn't mean it. Like,
well, you got to give it meaning.
I don't know I don't know how you do that, but
I don't either, but I just, you know, that was Nets Blazers for the right to play in a play-in game for the right to get your ass kicked by the Lakers. Like, it wasn't that big of a deal in the grand scheme. Of course, for Portland, it was. Sure. It's exciting. And it's, you know, we're all going through this COVID crap together, right? This COVID thing sucks, but at least we've got Damian Lillard here giving everybody some joy and everybody can come together and watch. That's exciting. But for the rest of the league, nobody gives a crap. But because of everything that was on the line, it was really exciting, and it seemed like NBA Twitter was watching. They were loving it.
The NBA world was watching it. Yeah. It was the number one thing on cable yesterday, was that game.
Yeah. Was it really?
Yeah. Yep. It was good. So we have the awards. Would you like the bubble awards?
The what?
They did the NBA All Bubble Awards.
Oh, those came out?
Did they?
Yeah.
I didn't know we were
somebody did.
I didn't know we were doing bubble awards.
No, they are doing bubble. They're doing like an all bubble team.
Brother.
But I didn't think the actual awards came out yet.
Well, I've got some here right on my computer.
Okay. Brother.
And we're going to get to them, damn it.
And by the way, people...
Because the Blazers dominated them.
And people have pointed out, we've got a lot of bridges here that don't really have, like, significant names. Like, do we the Steel Bridge, the Broadway Bridge, like because it's on Broadway? Goes right to the Moda Center.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, but I still feel like those are... I feel like the Tillicum's the one because it's the new one.
Yeah.
And no one's really stuck on the Tillicum name.
Sure.
Yet. But and Lillard is in his prime when they're building it.
Outside of Broadway, like because it's on Broadway, what the hell cares about the Broadway? And it goes to the Moda Center. Paint that son of a gun, Blazer colors. Throw a big O on top of it. Make it the Lillard Bridge, and it heads to the Moda. How cool would it be to go across the Lillard Bridge as you're going to Moda Center?
Yeah. I could buy into that too.
Yeah, get some light. Put some lights on there, light up a little Blazer color.
Rob doesn't sound like he wants to buy into that.
I like the Tillicum. I think we should stick with our guns.
But man,
right here. It's right here.
But do you want Lillard to be on a stupid no car bridge?
Exactly. It's like that's the most Portland thing ever. We're putting him on a bridge that you walk across.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
On water.
I'm going. That's true.
Walks over water.
I'm going Broadway Bridge. That's the one.
Sales pitch right there.
That's what I'm pushing for. Plus, it's ugly. It's that crappy rust color. This way, we can spruce it up a little bit and paint it. Do something with it. That bridge sucks.
Is it rust color or is it literally just rust?
It's possible that it's just rust, but it's a terrible looking bridge. And so this gives us a little incentive to spice the thing up.
All right, Blazers play the Grizzlies tomorrow. 11:30. Now, the Bubble Awards. Blazers dominated the Bubble Awards. We'll get to that next. Oregon State President F. King Alexander will join us at 4 o'clock to talk about the cancellation of Pac-12 football. Right now, Mike with sports.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Okay, it is 3:38. We will interview Oregon State President F. King Alexander at 4. Talk about the canceling of Pac-12 football. Bubble awards, bruh.
I'm not sure how official any of these are, but where do these come from?
Pro Basketball Talk.
Okay. Not to be confused with Pro Football Talk, which I go to quite a bit.
Now, the NBA will actually announce seeding game awards tomorrow.
So there is a legitimate seating. There is
seating game awards,
so
bro.
So there is a bubble. Do you get a trophy with that or a ham, some coupons? What happens?
I don't know if you guys follow Worldwide Wob on Twitter, the guy who does all the video clips and stuff for the NBA. He called the player of the bubble Wilt Disney. It's a good name for it.
Okay. Do you get like a, I feel like if you're like first team all bubble, you should get like an extra side piece. Like they get, you get like one like free pass, no questions asked, gets to get into the bubble.
I love how stuck Suki is on the side pieces in the bubble. It's like your favorite part of the whole thing.
They're trying to deny side pieces, and I think that that's ridiculous. So I say that you reward them with, hey, one no question asked. Let's find someone on Instagram. We'll get them into the bubble for you.
Yeah, the NBA announced today it will name the NBA All Seeding Games team and the NBA Player of the Seeding Games to honor top performers for games played July 30 through August 14th.
Okay. An 8-game award season.
Yes.
When the vast majority of really good players in the NBA either didn't play or didn't care.
Shut up.
Okay.
The Blazers dominate these awards. So pipe down. A panel of sports writers and broadcasters who have been on site covering the season restart will select the NBA All Seeding Games team and the NBA Player of the Seeding Games. Now, Pro Basketball Talk already did theirs, and it's pretty obvious. Is there any doubt bubble MVP is Damian Lillard?
No.
Is there any doubt?
No. Had they lost last night, then I could see you either going with Booker. Or maybe TJ Warren, who was great with the Pacers. But no, I mean, it's, with what he did leading them into the playoff.
38 points per game in the bubble.
Yeah. And look, Portland wouldn't – they win, what, 2 games? And are an afterthought without Lillard. And by the way, they probably win 2 or 3, even if Lillard is good. I mean, if he's averaging, 28 a game, they're an afterthought.
The all bubble team, first team, Dame's Lils.
I'm guessing Booker, Warren.
TJ Warren.
Yeah.
Luka Doncic and James Harden.
Okay.
That you can't argue with that.
No, you can't. Not a lot of bigs on that squad, though.
Giannis was on the other guy. There's 2 guys at Pro Basketball Talk, apparently.
Okay.
Second team, Tatum, Antetokounmpo, Kawhi, DeMar DeRozan, and Kristaps. Coach of the bubble, Monty Williams' sons. Yeah.
Well, again, they went undefeated. There's a part of me that kind of...
No.
There's a part of me that kind of feels bad for Phoenix. Right? Like, you did everything you could. You were perfect, and it still wasn't enough. I mean, that's the tip of the cap to Phoenix. It's a hell of a run.
They were too far back.
Yeah.
But we all laughed at the idea of them being included.
Sure.
We shouldn't have.
No. I mean, we all thought it'd be New Orleans and Portland, and, well, not
no,
so much.
No, included in the whole bubble thing. They were like, why are they going all the way back to the Suns?
I know.
Right? It's like, come on.
Well, same thing with San Antonio, right?
No, no.
And both of those had a good showing.
And the breakout player, Gary Trent Jr.
Yeah. Well, and he came back down to earth a little bit, but he had his moments last night. And again, look, Portland has needed an all hands on deck sort of approach here because they don't play any defense. But for the first, 5 games, Trent was shooting 63%. Again, came back down to earth a little bit. But I mean, he has been, especially with no Trevor Ariza, he has been a revelation for you. And I don't know where his ceiling is or where he settles out, but at the bare minimum, I think everyone feels pretty good about Gary Trent Jr. being a solid rotational piece, if not, your sixth man coming off the bench.
All right. Well, the official awards will be tomorrow.
Okay.
Okay. So it might be a big day for the Blazers as Lillard hoists the, what they call them? The seeding game, the NBA player of the seeding games.
The NBA best player in 8 games.
He will hoist that trophy and perhaps... hoist Memphis right on out of there.
Yeah. Look,
tomorrow.
At this point, I don't think you can doubt Portland going into the Memphis. I mean, obviously anything
doubt
can happen,
them.
But Memphis has to beat them twice. I don't think many people are picking Memphis at this point to knock off Portland in those
two.
We got
any Grizz homers here?
I don't know. Is there such thing as a Grizzly homer? Is that
like Ja Morant's game.
Sure.
I think he's fun.
Yeah. Well, and he'll be the rookie.
Other than that?
And he'll be the rookie of the year.
Who's our coach? Who they got coaching those guys over there?
I don't know if
Anyone?
I read it in an article today and didn't know who it was, nor realize who it was.
Is that right? Yeah. It's not take that for data guy?
No.
He got fired a long time
ago.
He's
been gone for quite some time.
And he got fired by the Knicks.
Yeah.
He's been fired twice.
That's a Fizdale.
Don't forget former Oregon Duck Dylan Brooks on the Grizzlies. Scored 31 in their last game.
Did he? Boy, you would never get this in a million years, nor would you ever pick him out of the
lineup. I don't
think
you've ever heard of him before.
What's his name? Taylor Jenkins.
Yep. Taylor Jenkins is the coach of the Memphis Grizzlies.
He was on Budenholzer's staff and Popovich's staff. So he's a Spurs guy.
He's a Pop guy.
No idea.
Blazers.
I thought Pop had a pretty good one. Did you see the fake news?
No.
So someone asked Popovich, about the 22-year streak ending.
Yeah.
And Popovich is pretty outspoken. He is not a fan of the POTUS. And Popovich, someone said, hey, how do you feel about the streak ending? He said, what are you talking about? It didn't end. He goes, no, I've talked to all kinds of people. He goes, ask anyone. Read the articles. Read the brochures. Talk to people. They say it's a beautiful streak. They say the streak never
good for him.
Yeah, I had a whole thing, and it was,
just clowning the guy.
Yeah, it's just a tip of the cap. It was well played.
All right. Up next is a wide-open sports segment before we get into hot peppering questions at what's the guy's name? F. King Alexander.
Yes, where I, Everett Robb, goes head-to-head with F. King Alexander in a name-off.
He's the president at Oregon State. He's going to join us at 4. So what will we do next? That's a great question. It's 3:45 on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right. F. King Alexander, Oregon State President, 10 minutes. I am instructed to give a shout out.
Okay.
We do that here. Shout outs.
Hey.
Jeff Austin, you know him?
Yeah, I've heard of him before.
He's our boss.
Jeff Baton Rouge.
He runs the station.
Yes, he does.
I guess he went and played golf today.
All right. It must be nice to be the boss on a Friday, working from home. He's probably drunk right now.
Yeah, chances are good.
Yeah, having some tequila out on the porch.
He played 18 at Wildwood, and he played with two P1s of our show by the name of Jason and Aaron from St. Helens.
Okay.
And we have to give Jason and Aaron from St. Helens a giant Isaac and Souk shout out.
Sup, bros.
Sup, boys.
Sup. It'll be a hot one this weekend, so get out today.
Is it?
It's supposed to be in the hundreds Saturday and Sunday.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, we're going triple digits.
That hot?
Yep.
I don't know about you, but I'm
excessive
not.
Excessive heat warning right now.
I'm not golfing if it's 102.
I'll be out there.
I'm out. Yeah, no thanks.
Let's do this.
I'm passing.
I'll be out there both days. I was out there this morning. It was beautiful.
Yeah, it was nice outside today. I don't mind the heat, but 100 degrees and you're out there and you're in your little golf outfit. It's just a lot of ass sweat. I don't need that sort of aggravation.
Your little golf outfit. Yeah. Hey, I'm in the market for good, breathable underwear.
Yeah.
Boxer briefs. Does anybody have any suggestions?
I've got some that I like, but they're not very durable. They rip a bunch.
Well, I don't like that.
And that's a little disappointing. Tommy John makes great underwear, but it doesn't hold up. It's very thin and breathable, but it rips.
I'm out.
The durability of it is not the best.
I can't find. There are two things that I have been in the market for somewhat recently.
Yeah.
And I'm really struggling to find anything good. One is the golf bag market.
Oh, like the actual, like your.
Yeah, my golf bag's getting old. I have a Jones bag. It's getting kind of old.
Yeah.
And I think Jones bags are great.
They're expensive.
They can be, yeah. And I just, you look at the golf bag. All the companies in their golf bags, it's all the same. It's all kind
of... A lot of stuff. I
still really like it.
Well, I had one that I liked, but you remember my clubs got stolen.
Yes.
And I really liked that bag. It was a... what was that thing?
Where do you think that bag is now?
Hell if I know. It was a staff bag. It was an old staff bag that someone gave me that like the pros use. And you can't carry it, but like on a push cart, it was amazing. It was a... Titleist staff bag. Love that thing. But those two were expensive. So now I'm just back to the old Nike one just because I had to go back to the spare clubs and the spare bag.
Well, and the other one is draws. I need some draws.
My favorite, because when I work out, I wear like specific underwear for that. But your day-to-day underwear, what's the little alligator brand? Is it Lacoste?
Lacoste.
They make really good underwear.
Do they?
Yeah. And again, it's expensive, but you can find it like at the Nordstrom Rack sometimes on sale. And if you can find it, they make it's got like mesh panels built into it. Very, very nice and breathable underoos. But Like normal price, they're trying to get you for like $29 on that stuff.
And it's only like two per pack. Right?
Yeah. So you got.
I see those prices and I go,
yeah, that's right out. But if you go to like the Nordstrom rack, you can find it for like $8 to $10. And
for just two of them.
And if you see them there, then no, that's per one. But it's really good underwear. It's my favorite.
For one pair?
Yeah, it's like
$9?
$9, $10. But it's good.
On discount.
It's like $30 normal, which
kill
is
me.
I was gonna say, that's not that
it's really,
$9 is not that much.
It's not.
For one?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, like that's
have
the same
you been
thing.
Underwear shopping lately? Because
it's expensive.
They're expensive. They're if you want the nice ones, well, they're $20 to $35 each.
I don't go cheap underwear, but I'll buy like the packs of like 8 at a time, and they're usually what, like $15, $20? So I mean, like, I guess that's cheap underwear. I don't know.
We're getting a lot of votes for Duluth Trading Company.
See, I don't like it.
I've tried those?
I've tried it. Not a fan.
Really?
No.
Why?
They have this like the stitching in the back that's supposed to like it's like create this like pouch in front, and it's very loose. It's just not, there's a lot of bunching. Not a fan, because everyone said that with Duluth Trading underwear. I take my underwear game seriously.
You should.
And I'll tell you what is, everyone loves the Duluth, or that was with like the rumor. I got to two different kinds from Duluth and didn't like either one. In fact, threw them away. Not even in my rotation.
Threw them away.
Yep. Didn't like them.
A lot of people also, you know what the other one coming in hot and heavy more than the others?
Yeah.
Is the Costco brand, the Kirkland brand, or the Costco 360 degree or something?
Never tried it.
Yeah, I hear that's, everybody's saying that's great.
Hmm.
I don't have a Costco membership.
Yeah, I don't know.
RJ hooked me up.
Well, I go to Costco, but I've never bought underwear at Costco. I just kind of hunt and pack. I've got to...
Well, but how do you know, though? Like, because I would just order it on Amazon or order online.
I try. I go and I buy here and there. And so you find some stuff that works. I don't have one go-to. I have several. But again, you have workout underwear and you have day-to-day underwear. Because
I feel like
that's two very different things.
Yeah, I go a little more spendy for my workout underwear. I get the Under Armour, like moisture-wicking stuff.
Sure. Yeah, all that stuff. Like when you're working out, that's a different kind of level. But I'm telling you, go to like the Nordstrom rack, look at the little alligator brand. That's a good quality. It's a good quality pair of shorts.
All right. Well, there's hot underwear talk. You guys like that?
What we're doing?
You like that? You like that?
Now I got Duluth bro all mad at me. Look, if you like the Duluth brand, hey,
it's your opinion.
It's your opinion. I got two pairs of them. I tried their two different ones and didn't like it. Because I don't know about you, I will not suffer bad underwear. If I buy a pair and I don't like it, it's out. Get it the hell out of here. And then you find what you like and you stick with it.
You shouldn't have patience for that stuff.
No. And that's the thing. I can't buy Tommy John anymore because of the durability concerns. Really like it. But after like the third pair that rips, you're out. No, not doing it.
All right. Well, coming up next, we'll go from hot underwear talk to interviewing a very important man, the president of Oregon State.
That's how this program does it.
F. King Alexander will join us to talk about the cancellation of Pac-12 and what sports mean to a university like Oregon State. We'll get to that next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.